Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph. We're holding at the very top of the Amud where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah. Ho Yushneim Kehanim. You'll recall that we had yesterday in the Mishnah a situation of a young lady who was previously married. And the way the Gemara ended off was she was married Kiddushe To'us. And what happened subsequently? That marriage ended because it was Al Tanai and the Tanai was not fulfilled. End of the marriage. And now she remarries. Nothing wrong with that, except that she should wait
three months.
And she didn't wait the 3 months. And guess what happened? 7 months later, she had a baby. And everybody's thinking, is it 7 months from the second marriage? Or it was 9 months from the first marriage? And therefore, there are all types of halachic ramifications due to those doubts. One of those ramifications is the din of Chas V'Shalom Hako'o, or klola of a parent, where the Torah says that if chas v'shalom a person hits a parent, like a father, or a person chas v'shalom gives a klola of a parent, rachmanu litzlan, person goes lemisa, he gets misa through the best. Okay, however, in our situation, since I don't know who the parent is it the father from the first marriage? Is it the father from the second marriage? During the Mishnah, it's Potter al Makosi al Kiloisa Shulzeh Vishulzeh. He is Potter on both. Obviously, it's Osher for him to do. However, if he did it, then the Bezin cannot go and execute him because it may not be his father. It may be the other guy is his father. So, what happens if the person is a Machmir and he decides to go and hit both fathers to be on the safe side? Or, Chas V'Shalom, to give a Kalala to both fathers? Says the bright Satan Rabban on top of the Yom Hikozeh, because of Hikozeh. First of all, he hit the first father from the first marriage, and then the father from the second marriage. Or Kilozeh, because of Kilozeh, he gave a klola to one, and then a klola to the other. Or Kiloshneim Basachas, he gave a klola to both of them at one time. Or Hikoshneim Basachas, how could you possibly go and be Makishneim Basachas? Says Rashi, he took a long baseball bat and he gave him a long clap. You see Rashi, the second line. Rashi says, Shechovtan b'makel. Makel means a stick, staff. Chovtan he gave him a punch. Bako achas, at one time, both of them simultaneously. So what's the din now? Says the Tanik Amo, Chayiv. In this case, we will execute him after all. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, b'bas achas, Chayiv. If we attack it both simultaneous, yeah, Chayiv. Zeachazeh is potur. Now, what's the reason? Says Daniel Lama. So, let's look at the top Rashi. So Rashi explains everything, Baruch Hashem, in detail. Top Rashi, Chayiv, Shaharei, Echad Mehem Oviv. One of them is his father, Mimanevshach, Viko, and he hit him. So, therefore, we know for a fact that he hit both. One of them for sure was his father. I don't know which one, but Lamaisa hit one of them. Therefore, says the Tanakama, you're Chayiv. It's the Basachas, which we already saw. Shechavta Mamakim, Beko Achas. Chayiv. The Bahasros Vadai, his true boy. They gave him Hasros Vadai. Now, Rashi is talking about the case of the Basachas, because both fathers are standing there together. We saw the fellow there with the long baseball stick, baseball bat, ready to hit both of them. And we tell him, Mister, if you do that, Chas V'Shalom, you're going to get Misa. So there was Asros Vadai, and one of these two is for sure the father. And we told them, Al Taka Shneim, Shemamaka Zu Atam Eschayiv. With this Maka, you'll definitely be Mechuyiv Misa. And he didn't listen, and he hit, and there were two of them. So then you can go and give him Misa. But if it's Bezeh Achar Zeh, now we're going to Rebbe Huda, the distinguish between Bas Achas and Bezeh Achar Zeh. Says Rabbi Yehuda Bezeh Achar Zeh Potter the Ikashtei Hasrois. By definition, they're going to be two Hasrois since he hit one and then he hit the other. So there was one Hasrois, the other Hasrois. V'chol Chode V'chode Havasrois Safik. Each one of the Safik, because maybe it's not this is the father, maybe the other guy is the father. Ule Tanakam. So why did Tanakam say that even Bezeh Achar Zeh your Chayiv? Tanakam holds Hasrois Safik Shmo Hasro. Ha'ilimimon of Shach Ovad. Please, let me just finish the breath. The Tanakhama says, Hasru HaSofik Shmo Hasra. Although throughout Shas, generally we hold Hasru HaSofik Lav Shmuasra, but there are mandiyamrim like this Tanakam of this price that says even though it's a Sroah Safik, I don't know for sure whether this is the father or that's the father, but it doesn't really make a difference because Lamaisa he hit both of them. Since he hit both of them and Hasroah Safik Shmuasra, we execute the fellow. Yes, Barry.
A chaver doesn't need Hasra. Why does the Gemara have to explore Hasra Safek when even, I think Rabbi Yehuda would agree, that if the person has a status of a chaver and doesn't require Hasra, he would be chayav.
Okay, so can you think of a chaver that would go and hit his father?
Normally not, but a person's, even most erlicha people sometimes do things they later regret.
That's certainly true. Although I think the Gemara could have given that teretz, the Gemara doesn't want to come on to a situation of a chaver going and hitting someone. Well, after he's a chaver. Yes.
So in the scenario when he does one after the other and not contemporaneously
or simultaneously.
Yeah.
Concurrent.
So when the Edom are giving the Asra, each time it's like, do they say in the Hasra, there's a chance that you're hitting your father?
Yes. They're saying, to the extent that this man is your father, if you hit him, you are deserving and entitled to receive this. So according to Tanakama, if you're talking about a situation where it's a suffix situation, makes a difference. Hasra, suffix, shmo hasra. It is a good warning, even it's this conditional, iffy warning, but it's a good warning. And it has to be that he actually hits both parents, both fathers. If you'd only hit one father and you give him that iffy asra, the reason why you can't give him misa, because maybe he didn't hit his father, maybe he hit somebody else. If he hit somebody else and he caused them damage, he has to go and pay for it. He has to pay monetary damages. But if it was his parent, but it's not readily apparent if it's his parent. Therefore, if they gave him two asras and he hit both of them, that's Mishnah Asra Safik Shmuasra. Could attribute that Asra Safik Lav Shmuasra. Therefore, Zechazeh, he'll be Potter. Break the more Batani, but I have another price of Yehuda Imer Potter. Pibas Achas. That he is Potter even by Bas Achas. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda. Tonically, the price we just quoted said Rabbi Yehuda Imer Bas Achas Chayef. Here it says Batani of Bas Achas is Potter. So Ibazoi is the Chastira. The Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda really hold? Now, if it's a basachas and he gave one hasra, and that's hasra's vadai, why would Rabbi Yehuda hold in the second brisa? Then you potter. It's hasra's vadai. Both of them are there contemporaneously, simultaneously, concurrently, and any other similar synonyms that you can think of. And he's saying to him, don't go and give a patch because one of the two guys is your father and you're going to be over and misa to Edom and Hasra and the Gamsi Yishav. Still says Potter. Why? My time demanded Potter. The word bracha over here is not a real word.
Euphemism.
It's a euphemism. Thank you. It's a euphemism. We really mean Chas Shalom a klola. The reason why we use the term bracha is because we're going to refer to both a bracha of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Mala malish in bashutfis, just like there's a posik, which Rashi quotes, La mala klape mala kia kalel elekov, the nosa avoinoi, if Chas V'Shalom a person curses Rachmon with son, the Rabbeinu Shalom, he is going to have to bear that sin, and thereby the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no shutfis, you don't have two parents, and you don't have multiple gods, there's only one Rabbeinu Shalom, just like over there, that cloak by definition is ein bashutfis. Aflamato she ein bashutfis. Here too, down below, when you're doing a klala, it's got to be the type of klala where there is no partner. So if he is doing a klala with bas achas on both of them, he's both cursing Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith at the exact same time, one of them being his father, then you don't get misa because of the fact that you learn klala mi klala, bracha mi bracha, it's got to be she'en boshefetz. The iskisha called the club. So you're going to go and tell me, okay, that has to do with klala. But what does it have to do with hakah if you take a long baseball bat and you hit both of them at the same time? Because the two psukim, the one about chas v'sholem cursing one's parent, or chas v'sholem hitting one's parent, those two psukim are almost next to each other. There's one pasuk in between. And because there's such a close smichas, there's in fact a machloikis whether you hold that you are makish hakol the klala or you're not makish hakol leklal. This one holds that you are makish one to the other. So therefore, just like by klal, it's got to be she'ein ba shutfis. Hakol has got to be she'ein ba shutfis. Okay, you recall that Ariel asked yesterday a very perceptive question, like all of the questions that he asks, and that is, why does the Mishnah include this at the end of the long Mishnah, telling us about all the sfeikas about the fact that this father and that father, and includes it in the, you see the fourth wide line of yesterday's Amud Beis, Kuf Amud Beis, it says, Hoyu Shneim Koihanim, Hoyin Aleim, Hoyin Olav, Hoyin Metamalehem, Hoyin Metamalai. Those halachas certainly apply if you're talking about both of them are Koihanim, because Hoyin Aleim, Hoyin Olav, says Rashi, has something to do with whether they're allowed to do the avoida in the Beis Hamikdash and eat from the karbonos. Since both of them are kohanim, he is also a kohen, and so therefore, if one of them were to pass away, we're machmer and we say, don't do the avoida today, don't eat a karbon today. Being oyn olav, since this might be their son, we tell them the same thing, don't go and eat the karbonos, don't bring any karbonos today. Who ain't a metamalehem, he shouldn't be metamalehem, he's a kohen. Maybe this is not his father. They can be metamatim. Maybe it's not his son. So that's all certainly applies to Kehana. But then it says, "Who ain't a Yerush or his son? Avohem Yerushin or his son? Who Potter al Makosav al Kolosi Shalzeh v'Shalzeh?" You recall that Ariel asked about this case of the Makosi and Kolosi. This has nothing to do with Kehana. This has to do even with Yisraelim. So why is this here? So Bishas Ad Chak Godoil, perhaps one can go and say, this is something similar to what Barry was suggesting a couple of moments ago. This I heard from my Chavrus in the Kail. He says, we know that Kehanim are considered to be Kabdonim and Zerizim, and sometimes they're Vissel Tzihitz. And that's why the Gemara says, for instance, the Sechtes Gittin, that if a Kohen wants to give a get, because Kehanim get, all you have to do is light a little fire under them and they start getting short-tempered, good.
Get karach.
He has to give a get kireach. What's he not get kireach? He has to get a get mekusha. Get mekusha means that you have to go and tie every line.
Sew it up,
and then have to have somebody sign it on the back.
Kireach is if they didn't sign every line.
And if they didn't sign, then it's get kireach. Good. So why did they?
Kireach is when they didn't sign.
They didn't sign. Get mekusha is the fact that they made all these kshari. That's a very, very tedious and lengthy procedure. And the reason why they did it is so that hopefully the kohen in the meantime could be appeased and his anger could cool off. So, perhaps that's the reason why we're referring to Kehanim, because the Kohen might be Mak and Kalos Ishala. Perhaps. However, on the first halacha, that's the halacha of who ain't a Yorish Oysan Avohem, Yorish and Oysai, there is no Svara to distinguish between Yisrael and Kohen. So this lechoyer, this piece should certainly have come earlier in the Mishnah and has nothing to do with the Shneim Kehanim. Anyway, these kashas are posed by the Oruch Laner, and he says at the end, the Tzoruch Ion. Tzoruch Ion means we need further in-depth introspection and extrospection and analysis of the text to go back and forth, because there is no clear answer. So you ask a real great question, a grand slam. Continuing on the Gemara. It says at the towards the end of the Mishnah, the next case, very last line, meaning that, as we know, the Kohanim had divided up into 24 different Mishmaris, and each Mishnah worked 2 weeks in the year, one the first week and the other last week, the second half of the year. And what happens if the two fathers were different Mishmaris? He can be Oyelam Mishmaris, in other words, he can come to the Beis Midrash and say, I want to work this week. 6 weeks later, he can say, I want to work the next week, because that's the other father. He is entitled to do that. However, at the end of the day, when he says, okay, now I want to get my matan schorah betzido, I'd like to get a couple of the oros of the olos, and I'd like to take a nice gishmaka piece of lamb from one of the kabbanis, I'd like to have a shikul karm chattas, a karm osham, etc. There we tell him, you're not from this mishma. If you want to come and work, no problem. If you want to get reward, go to the other mishma. Of course, the other mishma sends him back, and back and forth, and back and forth.
You could work on Yom Tovim, though, couldn't you? When all the Kohanim come, you'd be able to partake then.
And what would happen if Shneim Mishmar Echad?
I'm saying, but all the Mishmaros come on the Regalim, right?
What you're saying is correct. What about if they happen to be that both fathers are from the same Mishmar?
Well, then you could come to the service.
Where does it say that? That's the next halacha of the Mishnah. So you're just saying another tzura of that case. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so it says Alu Mishmari, Alu Mishmari, but he doesn't get a chaylik. Freit Gemara. If he's not going to get a chaylik, why is he doing the work in this Mishmar if he's not getting a chaylik? And the Gemara immediately says, well, what are you asking? Lam Oyla, why does he want to come and do the Avod in the Beit HaMikdash? Ha'omer be'in them have a mitzvah. He says, okay, I can't get a chaylik, but I want to have the mitzvah of the Sheiris, the Sheiris Urim Elchav, to go and do the Sheiris in the Beit HaMikdash. I want to be able to bring the Kabbalahs. I'm a Kohen for sure. I can't get a chaylik, okay, but I want to do a mitzvah. What type of question? And Lamai says, Gemara, that's not the question. The question is, why does it say in the Mishnah Ola b'mishmarai? It could say Ola b'mishmarai. What's the difference between Ola and Ola? Ola means if he wants to gezinta height. Ola says Gemara Ela Ola means Baal Karachai. Means whether he likes it or not, he has to do work in the Mishmar. What do you mean he has to do work in the Mishmar? He's not getting paid. Why should he? The two mishpachas, both of the first and of the second marriage, knowing that this fellow is potentially either from their family or the other family, they are concerned that if he doesn't appear in the Beis Midrash to do Sheiris at any time of the year, people who are not familiar with the whole background setting, because after all, this took place 25 or 30 years ago, when he's now getting ready to do Avodah in the Beis Midrash, people don't recall that the mother originally was married to one, and then she didn't wait the 3 months, and she married to the other. Half of the people think that he happens to be from the first mishpacha, and half of people think that he's from the second mishpacha, and he doesn't do any sheiros. That means that there are chas v'sholom psulim among the mishpacha. People will start speculating and conjecturing, "Ooh, they're psulim. Who knows what happens?" Therefore, al tzbigam, they say, "Please do the work in the Beis Midrash. Everybody will know that you are a distinguished member of the kahuna." Not everybody will know that you're not going to get food at the end. Okay, you'll bring along sandwiches and you'll eat it together with everybody else. But the point is, al tzbigam, oyla, it's bal korcha, he has to be oyla whether he likes it or not, because the mishpachas can force him because of that potential pegam. Dim ho yushneyam b'mishmar. If they both happen to be from mishmar echad, then said the Mishnah, they not only can do the avoida, but noitul chelik echad, because memanavshach. If Smith HaKoyin happens to be his father, this Mishmar. If Jones HaKoyin is from this Mishmar, he's there. So he can go and get Chedek Echad for sure. Right, Timura, Maishna Shnei Mishmaris, the Loi. Why did you say if the two separate Mishmaris, he cannot get a Chedek? The Ozla Mishmar Umatchilei. The Ozla Mishmar Umatchilei. He goes to this Mishmar, they push him off and say, you're not a member of this Mishmar, you're from the other Mishmar. And so on and so forth. Mishmar Echanami Ozel Lehai Beis Av Umatchilei. The Ozel Lehai Beis Av Umatchilei. As you know, each Mishnah was subdivided into Bati Av. Rashi says, how many Bati Av? Shisha Bati Avis, from Sunday through Friday. So if you had, Le Marshal, 6,000 Kehanim in a particular Mishmar, so then 1,000 would work on Sunday, and 1,000 on Monday, and 1,000 on Tuesday. And this was predetermined. It's not that they all arrived and then the Rosh HaMishmar says, okay, you guys are going to work on Sunday, you guys are going to work on Thursday, you guys are going to work on Tuesday. They knew when their Beis Av was. Therefore, even if both fathers are from the same Mishmar, if he's going to work, if one father is from Sunday and the other one from Mushal is on Thursday, so he can do work on both days, but when he's going to want to get a cut, he wants a cut at night, they'll say, Mister, you're at the wrong cutting edge. You got to move to Thursday, because that's where the real father is. And the Thursday people, they should have collected on Sunday. So you have the same problem. Oh, you have to add these three words. Not only were they from the same Mishmar, they were the same Beis Av. Then of course, then you have no problem, because then they all get the Chedek on that day. In other words, both fathers are Sunday, Mishmar fathers, then so he'll also do the work on Sunday and he'll get a portion on Sunday. So Rashi says over here that they would subdivide it in Shisha Batei Aves. And what about Shabbos? This is what Barry was saying before, that just like on Yom Tov, then on Shabbos they also all worked together. Why didn't they divide everybody up into seven batei aved? Presumably because it would be inequitable. Why would it not be equitable? Because there's so few karbanas that are brought on Shabbos. You only have the two tamidim and you have the two musafim, and that's it. And so therefore a kohen who is a Shabbos beis av would feel denied. I know you're going to tell me the lechem upon him as well. But otherwise, from Sunday to Friday, you have every single day people bringing oilois and shlom and vinedova, and then you have, unfortunately, people that did a chet b'shoyeg. You have to bring karmachatzas and karman asham. And of course, you have yoldas and are bringing their kabbalas, and you have zovim and mitzvahim and all types of people. Somebody who's celebrating Thanksgiving, he's going to go and bring a karman toida. All of that is during the week, and the kahanim can all have a chavik and all of that. However, in Shabbos, it's very slim pickings. So presumably, that's the reason why they didn't divide them up into seven bati ovis, but into six bati ovis. But it's interesting. The Rashi and Tanis and Daf Tesvav says, in fact, that the Kahanim were subdivided into seven bati ovis. So before you have a stira between one Rashi and the other. Mietzim Heiri Banet Beis Mikdash. We'll see with our own eyes whether they have seven bati ovis or six bati ovis. Hanloch Noisim Sanusa. Hanloch Noisim Sanusa. Hanloch Noisim Al Ho Anusa. And now the new parak that we're going to learn now is a parak that is going to tell us the mechanics of chalitza. How do you perform a chalitza? Zok the Mishnah. Mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha dayanim v'afilu shloshtan hedyotis. You have to have three dayanim, but they don't have to be, says Rashi, from the Sanhedrin or from the Bezdin HaGadol, but they can even be three hedyotis. So why does the Mishnah even say shloisha dayanim? Why doesn't it say mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha hedyotis? Gemara will address that as soon as we start the Gemara in Yetz Hashem. Now, in terms of the shoe, it says the chotzen na'aloi me'al ragloi. The Yavama has to go and remove the na'aloi, his shoe, from his foot. So now the question is, what does this shoe look like or feel like? It says the Mishnah, b'minol chalitzosek sheda. If the shoe is a minol tai, what is a minol? Says Rashi, shel oir rach. Enshalon, soft leather, if that's what he's wearing, she takes it off. Kusha. Rashi is medayik, that sounds like only bidiyevit. Kesheira doesn't say lechatchila go and be choylitz with a minol. So what should you be choylitz with? Says Rashi, lechatchila you should go and use a sandal. Now those sandals of Rashi are not the sandals that we think of sandals which are all open and just have two straps on top, etc. Rather, the sandal of the times of Chazal, explains Rashi, was from hard leather. How did it become hard leather? Because it was mevushal. It was cooked, and that hardened the hide, and therefore the leather. And Rashi makes another distinction. Why do you say that the sandal is lechatchila, and the minol is only bidyevet? Says Rashi. Rashi is quoting from a Gemara which we're going to learn tomorrow and the next day, because by a minol is a lechatchila a gzeira misha minol hamirupat. What means minol hamirupat? Minol hamirupat means that you have a shoe, soft leather, nitel gaboy. The upper part of that shoe unfortunately fell off. How is the person able to wear the shoe? By having straps that attach it to his foot. But in terms of the shoe itself, if it didn't have the straps, if it didn't have the laces, it would just fall off because it doesn't have a top. And therefore they said, you know what, that's why you shouldn't use any minnow whatsoever, even one that happens to be brand new and is solid. However, what is the real and the best way to do it is with this oir kosher, when it's nice and hard and gebaldik. And says Rashi, if and when that gets a hole or something falls off, ein lo tekana, you can't wear it any longer. The ein derech l'nayale, nor will people wear it. In other words, they will look humiliated were they to go and wear such a sandal that has holes or that's missing an upper part or bottom part, etc. So therefore, lechatchilo, use a sandal that's the hard leather. B'diavet, a minol, which is soft leather, is also kosher. And the Mishnah continues on beyond Pelaya. On Pelaya says Rashi shel beged kaltz in Balaz, which means a sock. If he's not wearing shoes, he's just wearing socks, even if it's a thick sock. No good. Chalitzos epsul. Why not? Says Rashi, because the word na'al has the definition, something which is megan, which protects the foot, and a sock doesn't protect the foot. go and try walking outside when it's raining and you're wearing socks, you're going to become soaked immediately. If you're wearing a shoe, hopefully if it's not a pouring rain, that will protect your foot from getting all wet. And continue the Mishnah. The sandal sheyesh li okev kosher. Make sure that the sandal that you're using has an okev. Rashi says okev is sola belaz. In English, that's the sole. However, lav dafka the sole, even the heel. In fact, okev usually is the translated heel. Really means that any part of the bottom of the shoe, if it's missing, every once in a while my shoes have holes in them. I try not to publicize it so people shouldn't see. But if you have a hole in the bottom of the shoe, it's still kosher. I'm sorry, sheishli okif, if it has the sole and heel and it's intact, kush. Sheinli okif, if it's missing part of the bottom, possible no good. It's got to be a solid shoe from all sides, from the top and the bottom. Now, what happens if Rachman al Tzlan, you have an amputee? Nebuch, his foot is only a stump. So if his stump happens to be min harkuva ula mata, meaning that the foot is knee and beyond, in other words, Baruch Hashem, he has most of his leg, and attached to that stump happens to be a shoe, chalitza ksheira, then if she removes that shoe, it's kushim. Rakuv l'male, if Rachman l'tzlan, this person is amputee, where he only has a foot above the knee, even though there's a nice shoe that has been attached to it, chalitza psula, the chalitza will be possible, and therefore the only way to go and be mekayim the mitzvah is only through yibam. You can't do chalitza because has to be me. Al raglo, in raglo means from the knee and lower, and not from the knee and higher. Now you're going to tell me what happens if he has two legs, right leg and left leg. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Holds in the sandal shein shalai. What happens if it's not his sandal? Oy b'sandal shalai, or it happens to be made out of wood instead of being made out of leather. Oy b'shal smar b'yamin, or it happens to be the left shoe that he's wearing on the right foot. Why is that important that it's a left shoe and the right foot? Because if he's wearing the right shoe and the right foot, that's ideal. That's what should be. If it's the left shoe on the left foot, says Rashi, that's a machloikis later on Daf Kuf Dalet. We have Shem another 3 days, we're going to have a machloikis where the chalitza shel smoil works. The question is, what about a shoe, which is a left shoe, and you put it on the right foot? Does that work? Says our Mishnah, chalitza ksheira, because ikar is from his regel being defined as the right regel. So even though it's the important thing is the right shoe. So even if the right shoe, start again, we shall smoil be a min, if it's the left shoe on the right foot, as long as it's the right foot, even though it's the left shoe, if it works, if it fits, chalitza ksheir, the chalitza is kosher.
It's all right.
It's all right. Good. And we're not, yeah. And the Mishnah said, the sandal she'ena shaloi, if it's not his sandal, it's also kosher. 99% of the Bati Dinim, since many, many years, have a special chalitza shoe or shoes that they use for all chalitzas. So 99% of the time, it's a sandal she'ena shaloi. Since it says in the Mishnah, chalitza ksheira, which has that sound that it's b'dievet kosher, presumably they're makna the shoe to the individual prior to the chalitza, and therefore it's his, at least for the period of time of the chalitza ceremony, and then presumably he's makna it back to the best. Holds him a good she yuchal lahalich boy. Oy bekun she hu choyfe es roiv rag le chalitzosik shein. So now the Mishnah says, what happens if the shoe that he's wearing doesn't fit? It's either too big or it's too small. If it's too big, but yuchal lahalich boy, okay, he's able to walk with it, perhaps somewhat awkwardly because it's larger than his foot, Ablamaisi is able to walk. Or even if it's too small, but nevertheless, yeah, it's taka true that the back of his heel is protruding from the shoe, but it's choif is roif raglai, chalitza sukshed, the chalitza then is also kosher. Zoktimar, we started off the Mishnah, shloisha deyonim, vafili shloisha had yoitis. Deyonim, lomli. Why does the Mishnah even mention the word deyonim? Let it just simply say that you can do a chalitza with shloisha yoitis, and a kal v'chaim you can do it with deyonim. So the Gemara Kamashim on the meaning b'shloisha sheyoidim lahakreis ke'en deyonim. What the pasuk is, what the Mishnah is trying to tell us is that these cannot be totally illiterate hedyoitis. They have to have certain basic knowledge, and that basic knowledge is that they can read and that they can dictate to the yovam and to the yavam. What does that mean? So Rashi says, it says in the Pasuk that the specific Dayanim are supposed to go and read out to the Yavam. Yavam, you're supposed to go and say, Loi chafatzti lekachta. He is supposed to say to the Dayanim, I don't want to take her. In other words, I don't want to do Yibam. She, in turn, is supposed to say, Me'ein Yavami lehakim li'achim shem b'Yisrael le'ova yavmi. And then the continues saying, the Bezin says, Kochi yosel ish, ashele yivne ezbeis ochiv. Not Kochi yosel ish, ashele melech b'chobetz b'karet. Anyway, all the three of these statements have to be made, says Rashi Beloshen HaKoydish, and the Bezin is supposed to go and dictate it to the Yavam and to the Yavama, so they have to know how to read. So that's why our Mishnah tells us that Shlosha joins it, that they have to have minimum education like the Yonim, that they should be able to read out these psukim. It says in the Braisa, Mitzvah Chalitza Bishloisha, Sheyoidin Lihakris Ke'en Dayanim. Oh, so you see, just like that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell you, that Yoidis, but they have to be Ke'en Dayanim, that they can read and dictate. Now the Gemara gets off a little bit on a tangent on another related halach. The Tanakhama says Mitzvah Chalitza Bishloisha. If you have to have five Dayanim. My time, what's the reason? My time in Tanakhama. The sign it says in the Braisa that Zakenim, it says in the Pasuk, Va'otzi Yivim Te Hashara El HaZakenim. Zakenim is two. Vein Bezin Shokel, you can't have a Bezin just of two. So therefore, we see from the Lenoid Echad, Arikan Shloisha, you have to have three. From Yehuda, Zikne Shnaim, Zakenim Shnaim. The first Pasuk that we just quoted, El HaZakenim. And then it says, Zikne Ohirahi. So it says, one Zakenim and one Zikne. 2 plus 2 is 4. In Bezin Shokel, we see Lenoid Echad, Harikan, Chamesh, you have to have 5 altogether.
What
the
Zikne is written twice?
The word, there are two psukim. If you want to look at the Rashi.
I have the Arkar Shalim.
Okay, that's even better. Unfortunately, I don't have. Okay, I had hoped to bring it, but I forgot.
Carlo Zikne.
Exactly. Carlo Zikne Irai. Okay? So we got. We're done.
Okay.
So therefore, we have altogether 4. We add 1 is 5 altogether. Pray the Morbid Tanakama, Isaac the Beovid, right? After all. By the way, those who do not have the benefit of Torah or Hashalim, if you look at the Rashi, 6 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, Zakenim is V'otzi Vimte Hashara El HaZakenim, that's one pasuk. And then the next pasuk says, V'karu Lo Ziknei Irai. So you have 2 Zakenim, 2 Ziknei, 2 and 2 is 4, add 1 is 5, a contributor. Break them over Tanakama, Ziknei Mayobadlei. What are the Tanakama going to do with the extra Ziknei? So you want to buy a little buye afilo shloiche joitis. The Ziknei comes to tell you like Ziknei Hashuk. They don't have to be Zakenim, the great sages, but even plain elderly individuals. In other words, even Hedjoitis is also good. Reb Yehuda Hedjoitis Minolei, how does he know Hedjoitis since he needs both Zakenim and Ziknei? Navkle Mili Einei, says the Pasuk, that she has to get up and be Yorka Bafanam, and it has to be Le'enei HaZakenim. So therefore, it uses again the expression Einei. And what does that tell us? Yomamar, Le'enei Prat Lesumim. The fact that it says in the Pasuk that it has to be the Otsa, the Nikshi Vimte Elov, the Eine Haskenim, that comes to tell you Prat Lesumen, that the people have to be Baruch Hashem. They have to have sighted, they have to have eyes that can see. Except for that, it comes to exclude Sumen. So what does that have to do with Hejoitis? So the Yomamit Itzrich, the Eine Lemute Sumen, Shemamina, that for the Hejoitis. Why? These are the Sanhedrin, but you know, that we have to have the Yonim from the Sanhedrin. Lomeli Lemute Sumen. Sumen. What do I need a special pasuk to go and memayit sumin? We know that. Minatani Rav Yosef Nafka. Who's Rav Yosef? Tatani Rav Yosef Kishem Shebez Menukim Tzedek. Kach Bez Menukim Kol Mum. The Dayanim that appointed to the highest Supreme Court, to the Sanhedrin, not only do they have to be Nukim Tzedek, meaning that they can dispense justice fairly and honestly, but they have to be Menukim Kol Mum. They are not allowed to have any mum, any blemish. How do I know? Shem is the pasuk in Shira Shirim. Kulach Yafad Rayasi. Mum ein bach, you're totally beautiful, my friend, and mum ein bach, and you don't have any blemish whatsoever. Ah, so that's a requirement for the Sanhedrin. So I don't need a pasuk to go and tell you le'enei haskenim that they're not allowed to be sumim. Of course they're not allowed to be sumim. Ein lecha mum gedoy lemizu, that a person's chas v'sholom asuma, that he's blind. So why do I have to pasuk?
Compared to a person who's not alive.
Exactly. That being the case, Zokti Gemara. Must be that this Li'enei is coming to tell you that even Hedjoitis are kosher. So Hedjoitis, I would think, even a Balmum. Any night comes to tell you no, if they're suman, they are disqualified.
Yes.
Himself with the Sagino, correct. A limud that is shayach legabe. We're going to have something similar in another minute or two. Shakaya for bringing that to our attention. V'idach, how does the other, what does he do? Hahuli ene might ovid lay. What does he do, the ene? In other words, this man, the yama, learns from the ene to tell you, didn't have hedyoitis. The other man, the yama, said, I know hedyoitis from the fact that there's Canaan and ziknei. So what does he need the ene for? Hahuli kidrabdi. Who the yama, the yama, rava. Tzvichadiyone, lemechse ruka de kanofik mi puma di yavama. Tzvichsev, it says, v'nikshe yivim toy, v'ene has Canaan, v'yorka v'fonav. Why does it go and put those two together? Comes to tell you that the Dionim have to go and see the spittle as it leaves her mouth and as it hits the ground. So that's what I... So I knew from that it has to be visible and they should be able to see the spittle. Doesn't the other man, the Yama, also agree to that they have to be able to see it? You're 100% right. And that's why I need le'enei for him. How does he know it? You know it? Oh, nafka mi b'Yisrael. B'ishtei b'Yisrael, the top Rashi, li'hokim li'ochiv shein b'Yisrael. Oh, since it says Yisrael, Yisrael koldu. Doesn't have to be any except a chief rabbi. Any Yisrael, anybody that's minimum that he happens to be bar mitzvah, he's a Yisrael. And of course he has to be able to read, like we said on the Amud Aleph. He can't be totally illiterate. But if he's able to read and dictate, he's already qualified. What does he do with the word be Israel? Be Israel, the bezin shall Yisrael, for the bezin shall Geirim. When it comes to the bezin for Chalitza, it's got to be Dafka Yisraelim and not Geirim. Who's the one that says this memra? The Kiritani, who said this? Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Of course, he's quoting a brisa. Who is Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda? Rabbi Yisai will see on the bottom of the Omid that he himself was a ger. And he himself is saying something which is not to his best interest, so to speak. He would be disqualified from the Bezin. But he himself was a ger. And he says, sorry, I can't be on the Bezin for Alitza because Yisrael, the Bezin shall get. So this is similar to what you were saying, Brother Shai, before. Rabbi Yosef is talking about a Summa. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is talking about halacha regarding Geirim. We'll see that mitzvah on the bottom of the yard. Vidach, Yisrael achrinixiv. It says in the pasuk twice the word Yisrael. The one that we just had, and then it says also later on, he didn't want to be Yisrael. I don't have a chumash with me. So anyway, so it says Yisrael twice. One to tell you this, it doesn't show Geirim halacha. The other one to tell you the minimum, even hedyotis. Uksiv idach mi boiled kirsani. What does he do with the other pasuk? I'm Rav Yehuda. Pamacha sayin yoshim lefnei Rabbi Tarfin. Who ba'a yivama lachle to the amalanu anu kulchem chalutz chalutz hanoal. It says in the pasuk base chalutz hanoal, and it says be Yisrael. Nikra be Yisrael, something like that. Nikra shmoi be Yisrael. Oh, nikra shmoi be Yisrael. Base chalutz hanoal. So, what do I have this be Yisrael to go and tell you? Anu kulchem chalutz hanoal. So what does that mean? It should be public that everybody knows about it. And since it says that you do it in public, you go and do it, be Yisrael. And what was the Lashon again? Bikaru Yisrael. Peis chalutz hanoal. Therefore, it means that you should go and do it out loud. And in fact, the Rambam says you should go and do it three times. You have to say out loud, Peis chalutz hanoal. When I was a Bocher Yeshiva, that's good, a couple of years ago, I had a Chavrusa who told me that he once was at a Chalitza that was performed at the Besmedish of Rav Moshe Bik Zatzal. Rav Moshe Bik, in his time, was considered to be one of the preeminent poskim for all of New York. And at that time, what does it say in Pasuk Beis Chalutz Hanoal? It says at the very end of the parasha.
V'nikra
Shmoy B'Yisrael Beis Chalutz Hanoal. Which means that they have to go and call out. Rambam says you have to go and call out Beis Chalutzanah. Because of the fact that a chalitza is a relatively infrequent phenomenon. Thank you for looking it up. Since it's a relatively infrequent phenomenon, when a chalitza was going to be performed by Rav Bik, they made it well known to the Oilam. I don't know if they put up signs, or at least it was by word of mouth that everybody knew 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one particular day, coming to the Beis Medrash Rabik for a chalitza.
I was at one of the Central Hall, but I was in Brooklyn once. They did it, and they publicized it, but everybody came in to see it.
Flash, you want some flash? I was just lost.
Okay.
Is it something like you want to go see? I mean, is it like...
Not that you want to go and see it. It's
no
a...
It's not catered.
It's a mitzvah that's being performed, and since it's a rare mitzvah being performed, people want to see. I've never seen a chalitza
it's
before.
Like, it's like when you decapitate a bechor of a chamor, right? Petra chamor.
What you're thinking of is the other way around. In the last few years, a number of people, both in Eretz Yisrael, they had a video from Australia and other places that people wanted to mekayim the mitzvah of petra chamor. How are you mekayim the mitzvah of petra chamor? Your petra chamor tifta b'seh v'im loisifta v'araftoi. So then someone specially went and bought a couple of animals and breeded a new chamor that was a petarecha, meaning it was the firstborn. Then they made a very public ceremony showing how they didn't hand over the chamor, but they handed over a seh to a kohen. Presumably they took the best kohen that they could find, and they gave him the seh, which was the pidyon petach chamor, and they made a public celebration with speeches.
Dressed it up.
Yeah, exactly. So people want him in the kind of the mitzvah. So
have you attended a chalitza ceremony?
I did, but the one that I did was here at Rabbi Melman Shul, and it was a relatively limited crowd. We had barely a minion, maybe 10, 15 people, something like that. But going back to this Masa of Rabik, there they had a total of as many people as could fit into the Beis Medrash, probably 200 or 250. Rabik Zichrono Lebracha had a very high-pitched voice, and when he spoke, when you heard it from afar, and he said, okay, Rabbi Yisai, it says in the Rambam, one has to scream out, Beis Chalutza Noah. The person was there, and he told me 200 people screaming at the top of their lungs 3 times, Beis Chalutza Noah. He said you could hear it 10 blocks away, and you could hear the walls shaking from the saying of that Beis Chalutza Noah. It made such an impression on him that I still remember it vividly as if I was there. Anyway, but that's what our Gemara is telling us. That's why it has to say be Yisrael, that everybody in Yisrael should know about it. Okay, they probably couldn't hear it from there to Australia unless they had a telephone hookup. But the point is, you want to publicize this and everybody knows. Why is it so important that it be publicized? So Rashi tells us a little bit further down, the Presume Milsa, about 12 or 13 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yeah. Number one, the Chalutzahi, for the Linzva LeKoyin, that people should know from now on, this lady is a chalutza, and a koyin should not want to marry her, because a koyin is not allowed to marry a crucial chalutza. Inami to lesu inchi for the kavtsila. People should know that she is now available. Until now, she had a zika. Now she is available. So people know, oh, did you hear Ms. Smith, you know, the husband, and your yavama, she's now available, and hopefully there'll be a line of potential suitors to go and marry her. What's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? An afkamina would be if she happens to be a pre-existing chalut, not chalutza, but a grusha from an earlier marriage. Nebuch, she's a grusha, she remarried Baruch Hashem, and now she's going to be a chalutza, that she can't marry a kohen. Anyway, she couldn't marry a kohen because she was a grusha. So you don't need the first reason. But for the second reason, people would hopefully marry her. That would be a great reason. Anyway, beginning back to Agimara, the base chalutza and all that they screamed it out, and that's why it says Yisra. V'idach. The Menikra Nafka, since it says Menikra Shmoy be Yisrael, Beis Chalutza Nof, the Menikra tells us you gotta call it out. Since Rabbi Yehuda said Zikanim and Zikne, you add it together. And even according to the first man, the Yomar, Zikanim alone tells you the number of the Yonim that you need. El Miyato, why don't we add more? It says Vikaruloi, Zikne Iroi, and then it says Vidibru Elov, so why don't we say Vikaru Ishnaim? The Dibru Ishnaim, and add on 4 more. How can I'm the Rebbe Yehuda going to say Hari Kantisha? 4 plus 5 is 9. The Rabbanah, you're going to go and say Hari Kant Shiva, because they held you need 3. Add another 2 plus another 2 is 7. So do you want to know? We need that, the Koru and the Dibru, for another purpose. What's the other purpose? The Kinesani. The Koru Loi, the Loi Shlucham. They themselves have to go and call to the Yavam. The Dibru, a love that they have to speak to him. What means to him? Of course it's speaking to him, not speaking to you and to me, it's speaking to him. That they talk to him like psychologists, and they say to him, listen, mister, we heard that you are intending to be Miyabim. Is that really the right thing? Shimhoyahu yelled these Kena. What happens if he's 20 years old and she's already 80? Or who's Zakat if he's 80, but he Yalda and she's only 20? I'm like, Malach Eitzel Yalda, Malach Eitzel Zakena. Klach Eitzel Shekam Moischa, Valtachlis Ketot Lechoich Beischa. If there's a major difference in age between the two, it only leads to potential internal marital problems.
I didn't make sense if they're approaching a Maimar or a Yibum situation, but here they're already in the base, based on for Chalitza purposes. Mm-hmm. So why are they...
This person was contemplating doing Yibum,
okay,
and therefore the Bezin is telling him, we don't think that's such a great idea, we think you should rather go and do a Chalitza because of the great difference in age. Could be other reasons too. Could be great differences in weight. What happens if he is 800 pounds and she's 50, or vice versa, you know? Other reasons why it doesn't look like it's going to work out. We had a machlokes 3 or 5. Says Rava, in the name of Nachman, we pasken chalitza b'shloisha, because if you look at our Mishnah, it only brings the 3. The 3 and the 5 was in the braisa that we learned in the Gemara, but the Mishnah only says 3. Stam Mishnah, 3. If that's the case, miyun nami, when we're performing miyun, a young girl before the age of bat mitzvah who was married off by her mother or by her older brother, and now she wants menes, over there too, you should also say it has to be 3, because I have a stam mishnah. What's a stam mishnah? Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin, titnan ha miyun v'chalitza b'shloisha. It says miyun and chalitza is 3. So chalitza, that's just like our mishnah. Stam mishnah is 3, but it says me and also 3. So shouldn't we pass him me and 3? Me and is also 3. What time do we have a braiser? Miun Beishami Omrim Bezin Mumchen. Has to be Dafka Bezin Mumchen. Bezin Bezil Omrim Bebezin Shaloi Bebezin. No, it doesn't need a Bezin Mumchen. In fact, you don't even need, as we more will get, what the braiser will say, Eilu Moidim Shetzorach Shloisha. You have to have 3, but it doesn't have to be Bezin, you know, capital B, capital D. A filler Shvacha is also good. But continues on the price of Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Yosef, on the sides of Blazer, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin, Bishnayim. You don't need 3, even 2 is enough for Miyun. The Omer of Yosef, Bar, Minyumi, Omer of Nachman, Halachic Oisezud, we pass them like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Shimon, that they're Machshir even by 2. I would just have that Stam Mishnah, Ha Miyun, Vachalitza, Bishloisha. So if you're telling me Stam Mishnah tells you it's got to be 3 by Chalitza, then I have a Stam Mishnah that Miyun is also Shlisha, also Shloisha. Yet over there it says 2 is enough.
They still said Shalom Bebezdin is also good. So why do you need a...
Can you continue on? What does it say right after that?
What
means Shetzorach Shloisha?
You still need 3. That's my question. What's going
on? You're not asking a question now on the Stam Mishnah aspect. You're just understand.
I'm thinking maybe it's going to be explained, but it's getting away from us. What's Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai says you need 3 mumchen for Miyun. What is Beis Hillel saying? Bebezdin shlo bebezdin. It sounds like you don't need a bezdin at all.
But that's why, because of that concern, immediately Beis Hillel said, but you need 3. So now what it means to be a bezin? It doesn't have to be a bezin a mumchen. It could be even not a bezin a mumchen. Okay. Bezin a mumchen would normally be a bezin kavua, 3 distinguished rabbis that are constantly sitting in Din Torah. Even if it's not a bezin mumchen, even 3 hadjoites are also sufficient for these purposes. But everybody holds you have to have 3. Except Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Loza that say even 2. And we paskin that you only need 2.
Is that 2 a bezin or is that a adim? Is it Taurus Bezin or Taurus Adis?
Whatever you want to call it, Lamas, you only need 2.
Okay.
We said that there's a Stam Mishnah that you need 3. Is the Akasha. If the Stam Mishnah says 3, and that's how I know that Chalitza is 3, then why don't you say Miyun is also 3? Everything Amara Hasam Chad Stama V'Ocha Trey Stami. There's only 1 Stam Mishnah. In other words, you only find 1 Stam Mishnah that says Hamiyun V'Chalitza B'Shloisha. Here I find 2 Stam Mishnahs. Number 1, that Mishnah itself, Hamiyun V'Chalitza B'Shloisha. And number 2, our Mishnah, the Mishnah of the Yomar Aleph, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shloisha. So, when you have 2 Stam Mishnahs, that seals it. You need 3. You only have 1 Stam Mishnah, no Raya, and therefore, it could even be 2, and we won't follow the Stam Mishnah. Freyti Mahasa Namitre Staminenu. There's a Stam Mishnah like that as well. Titnan. This is already earlier in our Masechta, back in Daf Chaf Hei. We had Miyano Ishechol Simafanav, Yisa'ena, Mnei Shehu, here it says Bebezin, you'll see on the side it says Mnei Shehu Bezin. That's the Hagov from Rabbi Yankov Emden. What is this all about? We had a Mishnah over there where it said that a person should try to refrain from doing something where there's even just a perception of impropriety. So it says that, for instance, if you have an aide that comes and says, I saw that Mrs. Smith's husband died in the war or Medina Sayyam, and then afterwards we accept his edus of one, which we allow for because of Daiko Minseva, or because of Yitzhu Ben Afcha that said, because we're worried about the Machzeh Grushasai issue. Anyway, but the point is, if you have one aide, what's the halacha? She can remarry. What happens if she remarries that aide? Says the Mishnah, No, I'm afraid that it's telling false testimony and he had ulterior motives. And therefore, we won't accept it. But what happens, however, if you have a bezin of three, and that bezin of three accepted a mion or a chalitza, then Yisra'ena, then one of the panel of three is allowed to go and marry the young lady, the mima'enes, or the chalitza. Why? Neshu bezin. It's a bezin of three. So what happens in three? Says Rashi, if it's only one individual, I have to worry about ulterior motives. But if I have three, I don't have to worry that all three of them are thinking that way. It's afterwards a panel of three. So you look at Rashi, Neshu Bezin, third, fourth, narrow line, Neshu Bezin, Kaloyim, Lo Yochad HaYisham, the name of Bishvi, Loi Niskavin, he meant himself, Shir Bezin HaYisham, name Bezin Pachas, Mishlash. Anyway, so what do I see from that Mishnah back in Daf Chafei? That Mion, or Chalitza, is good, Yisena. Why? Neshu Bezin, because the Bezin, which means there are three. So I have now another Befeidish Mishnah that requires three. I have another Stam Mishnah. Says, you're right. El Hasim Treis Tami Hacha Klasis Tami. Now we have two and three instead of two and one, or one and two. Now we have two and three. Meaning, vis-a-vis Chalitza, I have three Stam Mishnahs. We have our Mishnah here on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. That's today's daf. We have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that we quoted before. And now this Mishnah, which we're just quoting now from Daf Chafei, Miana Oishecholtze Befanav Yisenum Neshu Bezin. Again, that it says that it's three. So I said for Chalitza, I have three. Mashen came with Miyun, I only have two. I have that Mishnah we quoted before from Sanhedrin, not Hamiyun Vachalitza Mishloisha. And I have now this Mishnah, Miana. So when you have three, that makes it bulletproof. Therefore, Avad of Halacha is three. Mashen came, if you only have two, Mishnah is no. And therefore, we might still paskin like those two, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, that Machshir Mishnai. Frank Timara, come on, give me a break. Mechti, Hostama, Vahostama, Mali Chadstam, Mali Treistam, Mali Tlosa. The halach is we paskin like a Stam Mishnah. A Stam Mishnah means if Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't cite the other view, he meant to say, that's the halach. So you tell me he said twice, he said it three times, come on. And if you say a dozen times, one Stam Mishnah is enough. Elam Rav Nachman by Yitzchak have a much better pshat. Because the machloikis and the stam come together. What does that mean? This not. Let's go back to the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. It says in the Mishnah Smichas Zikenim. For those of you that have learned, and even those that have not learned, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin is a very, very, very long Mishnah and takes up, in fact, kemat the entire Amud Aleph, and it's a quite a fat Mishnah. Chas Hashem, not in a negative sense. But there's not too much choices over there, so it's long, long lines. It goes from the top of the Yom to the bottom. It's very, very big.
It's the only mission in that parak, actually.
Kenzai. But that, for our purposes, we only have to focus on this issue. We don't have to talk about how many blot are there in the parak and how many other issues are discussed in the Mishnah. So, what does it say in the Mishnah? Smichas zikenim v'egla rufa v'shloisha divrei reb. Yoisi, on the side it says Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda Omer b'chamisha. When it comes to smicha zakenim ve'egla rufa, what does smicha zakenim mean? What means egla rufa? Smicha zakenim, again, there's a machloikas over there, but the pashup shot is that if the zakenim are bringing the par helim dovashel tzibur, that's a chatas that is brought by the Bezna Godel, by the Sanhedrin, when they made a faulty psak that Klal Yisrael relied on, then they bring the carbon. Not every individual, but just the Bezna Godel brings that carbon. And smicha zakenim. It says in the pasuk they have to be soymech on the carbon. How many have to be soymech? Three, not the ganze bezin. Three, it's a kenim is enough. Same thing, egla rufa, if you're bringing an egla rufa because nebuch someone was killed somewhere in the midbar, in the wilderness, lo yodam hiko, we don't know who did it. So therefore, then you have to go measure to the closest town, and then they have to bring an egla rufa, which means an egla, which has to be decapitated. And before they do that, again, it says that they have to do some chuzikni here as hahi, as yideim al roish the egla. So how many? Again, three. As oizuk divrei Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yudai mechamish as a machloikis, three or five. Right after that, it says achlitz v'miyunin is b'shloisha. Now, what about Rabbi Yehuda that holds that there are five by a chalitza? We have that in the Amud Aleph, right? Chalitza, he says there are five. So you're going to tell me where Rabbi Yehuda was out for a coffee break. Rabbi Yehuda was right there. He said by the smicha zikain of Egla Rufa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bechamisha. He was there, he said five. So when it says a chalitza v'miyunin, it should also say, the Tanakhama should go and say that there are three, and Rabbi Yehuda should say that there are five. Why doesn't it say that? Like Kapalik Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Mina Hode Bei Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Mina. So it's not only that we paskin three because we have all these Stam Mishnayis, but because we have a Raya Brew that Rabbi Yehuda himself changed his mind. He no longer holds five; he holds three. So now it's unanimous. We paskin three. Mashen came the Gabi the case of Miun. There's a Machloikis. There's a Machloikis. Therefore, we don't automatically jump on the Stam Mishnah. And therefore, we might paskin too, after all, like that pair, like the Zug, the Yosi, and the Blossom. So, the more of item. Omer Rava, Tzrichi Dain, the Mikvah Duchta. The halacha is that the Yonim have to go and set a particular place where the Chalitz is going to take place. Tachsif, Yolzi Vimti Hashara Elasakenim. Shara means that there is a Shara which is Miyucha that people know about it. The Gemara doesn't go into the details. How the mikveh duchta, it's already a machloikis among the mefarshim and the poskim, whether they have to arrive on the scene earlier that day, or do they have to give notice the day before. They send out an email the day before that we have hereby set up this place for the chalitza that's going to take place tomorrow. From Rashi is mashma that they have to go and actually sit there, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. And therefore, you have to be mazmin, you have to prepare the place. You can't just the Yavam and the Yavama come to the Bezdin and say, we'd like to perform a chalitza. Okay, sit down and let's do the chalitza. No, you got to go and give advance notice as to the place where they're going to do it.
Is duchta a derivative of
duchta means a place. Sorry?
Of duchni?
Duchta and duchni are two separate words. Duchon is, the reason why you say duchon is because there was a platform in the Beis HaMikdash, which was called the duchon, on which the Kahanim would stand when they would go and be Mavorach Es Yisrael. On that duchon, at other times, he had Levium that would go and sing and play their clay shear. So Duchan meant an elevated platform. Duchta is an Aramaic word to mean a place. Just like in Hebrew, it would be Mokain. The Kvoya Mokain, the Mikvah Duchta. No problem. Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua Avdi Uvda v'Chamisha. They made Tak Echalitza and they took together five Tayon. Tomorrow, Kiman L'Choy like Rabbi Yehuda. Afraid of Hadabay. Didn't we say a moment ago that even Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind? So he bazoi, what do you need five for? And for the Gemara, Lipisuim Bilsa. Einachanami me ikradin. Only need three. But to be Mefarsim, and that's this Rashi that we quoted earlier, either to go and tell us that she's Chalutza and therefore she shouldn't marry a Kohen, and or to tell people that she's now become available. That's the reason why they had Davka five. So now the question is, why every time when a person gives a get, why don't you have five? Also for Sumi Milza, Talesu Inshi Velikfutsu, people should know.
Yes.
The Kohen should know not to marry, and other people should know that she is Namachagrusha. And the answer is, say the Mefarshim, because when you have a get, you have a piece of paper. A piece of paper can be circulated, and people can see it, and people can read it, even 50 years later. Even today they have...
They don't release it, though.
I'm sorry. Today, the minhag is they don't release it, but we're talking about at the times of the Gemara. Times of the Gemara, there were gittin, were written gittin, and the wife would take it home, and therefore, if anybody had any doubts, she'd say, here's the get. Or she'd make a photocopy and show everybody the get. We didn't have photocopies in that time. But the point is, there was a written document. Here, by Chalitza, it's just an oral statement in front, and of course, you have the ceremony, you take off the shul, you take on the masa, but there is no piece of paper, so how are you going to have it become a foursome? You have at least five dayanim, and you have a crowd, and people are going to find benediction by Yisrael. It should be a person. And the Gemara tells a similar story. Rav Ashi ikle be Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi came to the home of Rav Kahana, Omalei. So Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, Solik Mar Le Gambon Lemluya Bei Chamishi came just in time because we want to go and make a Beis Din for purposes of Chalitza. We need five. Shkoyach for coming, you'll be the fifth person. And Rav Kahana, who said to Rav Ashi, come on in. Rav Kahana became the Kami Rav Yehuda. I remember I was in front of Rav Yehuda. The Omali Ta Sak Lizirz of the Kani Lizruf Bei Chamishi. Come over here. Sit down on this. On this zirza. Zirza is a bundle. Kani are kanim on reeds. And he said, sit down over here, and we're going to have a chalitza. So they want to bring a raya from this, that that's the kviyas duchta that we said before. It's not just enough to talk about it, but that the yonim actually have to sit down. And that's how they're kviyas mokum. They say, this is where we're going to sit tomorrow, or in an hour from now, or whenever they do that chalitza. Omru lai. So now they asked him, why did you gather five together? Let me chamisha. Amalahu. Again, they said, there should be a pirsum of this, like Rashi said, for the two reasons. And now, you remember at the top of the Amid, we had Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and we have Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda once again. Havi koi kamei Rav Yehuda, he was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda, Amalai, sok ta lezir de kone, the truth would be chamisha. Please, come on over, sit down, enjoy, be part of the Beis Din. Why? Lefasumi milta to be mefarsim this inyan. Amalei, he said, did you forget what we learned at the top of the Amid? Tanina be Israel. It says in the Pasuk, Lahakim Lachav Shem be Israel, and the Nikrashmoy be Israel. What does the be Israel come to tell us? It's got to be a bezin shal Yisrael, and the bezin shal Gerim. Vano says Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda, I'm a Gerim, and that's the same Reb Shmuel Yehuda that we had at the top of the Amud, who quoted this Chazal, even though it's not in his best interest, so to speak. But he had full intellectual honesty and integrity. There we've said, Rabbi Yisai, I'm disqualified, I'm a ger. Om Rav Yehuda, Kigoyin Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mafikna Amoy Napume. Rav Yehuda wanted to apparently appease Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, he shouldn't be offended. After all, we just invited him, please join the Beis Din. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda had to go and say, presumably, sheepishly, I'm sorry, I can't join because I'm a ger. I'm, quote unquote, being discriminated against. So Rav Yehuda wanted to go and say, Chas v'sholem. We who have such integrity, the mafikna mamoina apume. If you would come into a bezin and you would be made that Yankel owes Beryl $100, I would accept your testimony because I consider you to be so honest. Based on one aid.
Right.
You have to have two aid. Elamaranish Torah apume. Not that we would decide the case based on one aid, you always have to have two aid. And not to go be mapik mamoin based on one aid. But Marana Shtar Apume, if he came in and there was a shtar in front of Beis Din, and we were looking at the shtar and wondering, is this a kosher shtar? Is it not a kosher shtar? Has it been paid? Is it not paid? This and that. So says the last Rashi, Marana Shtar Apume, the Oimer Yodana Bei De Paria. If he would say, I know that it's been paid, Lemizakikna, Lemigvabei, we would not allow for collecting based on that shtar. Presumably, if two new Edom came and said, we know it wasn't paid, it's a different story. But if there's only the whole Raya is one shtar, and this person said, I know for a fact that when we say this person of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, because he was so honest, says of Yehuda, I would believe him when he says that this shtar has been paid, and therefore you cannot collect on the shtar. Stop over here, Rabbi Samir, we continue tomorrow.